What's up, guys? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, October 31st, 2018, aka Widow Wednesday, aka Halloween. I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the amazing Gary Widow.
Widow Wednesday and Halloween. Yeah, wow. What a day.
What a day. What a special day. I'm so happy it's you here with me today.
I feel very, I didn't think you guys were going to dress up, so I didn't bother either. Yeah. And I came in here everyone made an effort except me.
Yeah.
No, we didn't try either.
You could be a Ghostbuster.
You guys have got some spare Ghostbusters costumes lying around.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Too many of them.
I'm going trick or treating with my kid later.
What's she going to be?
She is Poppy from the Trolls movie.
Uh-huh.
She's a big fan of the Trolls movie.
Really?
She likes
Poppy.
Yeah.
Do you have to listen to that Justin Timberlake song a lot?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Well, good thing it's a jam, right?
You have no idea how repeatable something is. Like kids can watch a movie all the way through. And then just start it over again immediately and watch it all the way through. Or they can listen to the same song 50 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You know how sometimes there's a song that you like?
Yeah.
And you play it a lot in rotation?
Yeah.
But eventually you get sick of it and want to move on. Kids don't have that.
No,
they just keep going.
They're just like,
going. And so that Timberlake song, I got that feeling inside my bones.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All day long.
That's good. It's a good song. I'm a big fan
of it. But it's a happy-making song.
It is. I'm very excited about it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We get together to talk about all of the video game news going on. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch the video whenever you want on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Or you can listen on podcast services around the globe. If you want to be part of the show, you can go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Or if we get something wrong during the show, you can correct us by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, and we will correct ourselves at the end of the show based on your feedback. It's very much appreciated. Let's get into the housekeeping. Extra Life is this Saturday. Extra Life 2018 is November 3rd. We'll be streaming games and shenanigans for 24 hours as we raise money for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Join or donate now at kindoffunny.com/extralife. Will you be there, Gary?
I think I'm gonna drop in during your free-for-all period that
the
you
party
mentioned
segment.
To me. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got the party planned. I don't remember the exact time, but I think from 4 to midnight. We're going to have a party, invite a bunch of people.
I love
over.
Extra Life. It's one of my favorite. This whole stretch from Halloween to Christmas is kind of my favorite time of the year. And Extra Life is one of. Oh, that's coffee. You've got coffee in there. Mm-hmm. I thought that was just a little ornament.
Yeah, but it's not supposed to be a coffee cup.
But you've turned it into one.
Yeah, but you know, you just got to use your imagination.
I like it.
Lord knows we don't have to. You know what I mean?
No, I love it. I love Extra Life. We used to do something around this time of year when I was on the old Tested podcast called Octobercast when we watched for 24 hours. Let me tell you.
Oh, it's
streaming for 24 hours is not easy.
Not at all. No,
I know you guys make it look easy.
No, we don't.
But it is not.
When it gets to the nighttime, I don't know if anybody remembers the last couple of years, but I swear it's like around 2 a.m. From 2 a.m. to like 8 a.m., you just see us all turn into zombies and like things start to get bad.
That final stretch is rough.
Last year, half of us fell asleep. And you're just watching us sleep while Greg told ghost stories, and my God.
I was super against that segment.
They were something. And more than not just Extra Life, you got something to plug here.
So just real quick, I'm going to do a quick book plug because I have a new book out.
Mm-hmm. And congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That's amazing. What is this
you,
book
Kevin.
Number?
That almost makes up for you saying I could go as a homeless person for Halloween earlier today. I appreciate it. I appreciate the support. Well, Kevin,
stance on sweatpants.
Kevin is very, very anti sweatpants. You know that, right? And I wear them to the office sometimes because, as I said to him, as Kevin, like when Kevin gets to my age, many years from now, he will appreciate comfort.
You're a man
he will
of
come
leisure.
To value. I'm a man of leisure.
I appreciate that a lot.
I like you. Just want when you get to my age, you just want to be comfortable. You don't really care about making a fashion statement or being stylish or really presentable in
any way. It's function over fashion.
It's exactly what it is.
For a long time in my life, I always thought that it's fashion over function. But I realized recently that I want to be where fashion meets function. You know? A little bit of
where is that sweet spot?
You're getting old,
I don't know.
Tim.
I haven't figured it out yet.
You're getting old.
I mean, maybe it's this. Maybe it might be this.
It's definitely not this.
Think
frankly,
about it, Kevin.
Like that people can't tell right now if you're wearing underwear is fucking disturbing.
I'm not, dude. I'm going full pantsless.
I can
pantsless.
Tell you. I can.
No,
I can,
no, that's enough, Tim.
There's a reason why I'm keeping my view.
Andy, do you
strictly
like that?
Over here. The, pri- The peripheral vision from my position here is not the best.
I was at Disneyland.
I should be wearing blinkers.
I was at Disneyland in Tokyo when I got this idea because I saw someone in the Winnie the Pooh outfit like walking around.
Yeah.
And I saw a Donald Duck walking around. And I'm like, oh, my favorite color is blue, so I kind of want to go as Donald Duck. But then I was thinking about it. I was like, who's the most iconic pantsless character? It's Winnie the Pooh.
Right.
Sir Winfred the Pooh the Third.
Right.
That actually
had to do. And no. You really committed to it. You tweeted a picture of your costume earlier today that really showed just how dedicated you were.
I'm dedicated to the cause.
Real quick, so we want to get to the games news. Mm-hmm. We get distracted so easily on this show.
Oh, no, it's so fun.
So real quick, I have a new book out. It's a science fiction anthology. Mm. 27 authors. It's called Resist. 27 authors all writing new science fiction stories on the theme of rebellion, resistance, revolution, stand up against tyranny and fighting the power.
You're a big fan of that, it seems.
In Britain, we're a big fan of oppressing other people, not so much fighting oppression, as an American would well know, because you overthrew us a couple of hundred years ago.
That's true.
Pretty cool. We're still pretty proud of that one.
And of course, it flourished ever since. Very, good job, America.
Thanks, Kev.
So, it occurred to me it might be quite timely to do a collection of stories along the theme of resistance and rebellion and fighting back against shitty governments. And I managed to find 27 other science fiction authors who agreed with me. Mm. And we put together a book called Resist, which is an amazing collection of science fiction stories. Here's the best part. Let's imagine, Tim, that you're out there and you might think, I like the sound of this book, but I hate Witter.
Mm.
And I don't like the idea of lining his pockets. Mm-hmm. Perfectly reasonable point of view. Mm-hmm. I totally get where a person like that would be coming
from.
I don't make a penny from this book.
Who makes the pennies?
And nor do any of the authors make any pennies. Wow. Every single author in this book donated their work for free, as did the cover artist, as did the proofreaders, as did the other editors who worked on the book with me.
Are you about to tell me it's going to extralife.com/kindoffunny?
I'm telling you where it's going to go. Every penny in profit that we make from this book goes to the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU.
Oh, okay.
That's
cool.
So not only is it a good book, it's also, we think, doing something for a good cause. As you know, the ACLU stands up for the Bill of Rights and for our rights and freedoms. This whole thing is a charity project essentially designed to help support the ACLU with very worthy cause.
Hell yeah.
So it's available right now in paperback and ebook on Amazon. If you just type resist into Amazon, like a million things will come up because it's a very popular word right now.
Oh, yeah.
If you type resist Witter, and let's face it, we should all resist Witter.
There we go.
If you type resist Witter into Amazon, it will pop right up. I think it's like $13 for the paperback, like $8 for the Kindle book. Get a great anthology of new science fiction stories from a bunch of Hugo Nebula and New York Times best-selling authors.
Great.
And also donate some money to a good cause into the bargain.
Hell yeah.
How could you possibly resist?
I can. You are irresistible to me, Gary.
I appreciate that. Thank you for letting me plug the book. You've done the cause of freedom a great service.
Thank you for being part of this illustrious show. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit to our first reader mail because I feel like it's appropriate right now.
Oh, okay.
Professor Wokes is not to interrupt Mr. Witter's book reveal and the kind of funny Halloween celebration, but I wanted to call attention to one minor little tidbit. I wanted to shout out Gary Witter's 1 year anniversary. Technically, it's November 1st as an official Kind of Funny Games Daily
is that
host.
Right? Oh,
it's
my
hard
goodness.
To believe it's been 1 year, 364 days, since that fateful day when Greg spontaneously hired Gary live on air and debuted the
was
very
that
first
a year ago?
Widow
oh
Wednesday.
Oh my god, that feels like much longer.
Since then, Gary has been an awesome addition to the show with fascinating opinions and perspectives on all Kind of Funny Games Daily news, stories, and microtransactions. I hope he sticks around, but if he ever has to step away without any explanation, we'll totally understand it if it's for him to work on The Last Starfighter and or Star Wars. Wink,
well, Tim,
wink.
Let's hope that it's the first year of many.
Let's hope.
I'll drink to that. Cheers.
Hell yeah.
Oh,
cheers.
Cheers, sir. Wow, that's amazing. I'm glad someone kept a track of that because I was thinking about it the other day, like how long has it been?
It's pretty crazy, man.
Yeah.
Good times.
Well, I'm glad someone thank you very much for pointing that out. You put a smile on my face today.
Getting through the housekeeping real quick. Tomorrow at 7 a.m., the Smash Brothers Direct is happening. All will be revealed. Is the Grinch leak real? We're going to have to wait and find out.
You getting up early for that one?
I am,
Gary. You going to do it live?
I am.
There's rumors of a Grinch?
Watch the last couple theory. Game dailies. It's a whole thing. What, Nick? What do you got for me?
The shot cuts off perfectly for your costume.
Oh, sorry. Your mic's off.
That's okay. Well, got me? Yeah. The shot cuts off perfectly for your costume.
It's no accident.
And I just feel like I owe Garrett.
The thing is, people need to notice that I have yellow.
Trust me, people have been noticing. Yeah.
the yellow toe socks are something else.
And I feel...
Was this all part of a set, or did you have to put this together individual
pieces?
Oh
no, I had to put it all together.
Where is the woman's shirt you were wearing in the picture?
Yeah. It's on my desk.
Why are you a coward?
Why aren't you wearing that?
Because it is way too much. And
what if I bring it to you?
I cannot breathe in it.
Yeah,
it
you're fine.
Getting Gia had to like. Today we're brought to you by Loot Crate and Robin Hood, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. 8 stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Undertale creator releases new game. Maybe. This comes from Jason Schreier over at Kotaku. Is Deltarune a prequel to Undertale? A sequel? A prototype demo to garner feedback for the sequel? We won't know until we play through the whole thing, but the new game from Undertale designer Toby Fox promises to be just as bizarre and trippy as the last one. Plus, it's an anagram.
Yes, how clever. Deltarune is anagram of Undertale.
Yeah, man.
Very clever.
We're getting crazy here. After teasing a new project yesterday, Toby Fox today released Deltarune, which you can get for free and play on either PC or Mac. It's a new game that seems like a teaser or a prototype for whatever Fox's next thing turns out to be. Quote, for those who completed Undertale, it really is important that you check at Undertale 24 hours from now, he wrote on Twitter yesterday. I want to make something new, and it all begins with your feedback. A Windows PC, Mac OS PC is needed. Since then, the Undertale Twitter has been full of cryptic messages. Bring on the Gaster theories that culminated in today's link to the Deltarune website.
So we talked about this earlier. I missed out on Undertale.
Yeah, so
what exactly
did
I miss out on, do you think?
It sounds like an acid trip. Undertale seems like one of those games that is super meta. And from everything I hear, people love it. It reminds them a lot of the Mother series of Earthbound.
Okay.
That type of vibe, gameplay-wise.
Okay.
And also story of it being very kind of ethereal and
right.
Like, symbolic. People seem to love it a lot, and this is
this new story makes me
kind
of want to check it out because I like trippy games.
And it's super weird. It's one of those like meta, like what is the game? Is reading the tweets of the game? I don't know, like some Kojima stuff. You know?
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, I like
very
that.
Metal Gear Solid 2 vibe.
The trippier, the better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for it.
Then you should get on this.
I think
man.
It's on Switch.
It's now on Switch.
It's on Switch.
Yeah.
No excuses. Mm-hmm. Play it wherever.
Yeah. Let us know what you guys are thinking about this Deltarune. Mark Isaacson writes in and says, you're probably aware that Toby Fox has finally somewhat revealed the successor to Undertale in Deltarune. Just as before, there's a clear sense of originality and intriguing audience engagement from the get-go. But whatever it does turn out to be, how do you all feel about its potential when compared to the amazing success of Undertale itself? Is it a case of lightning only strikes once, or can Fox deliver on another quirky, original, and engaging story the way only he can? Also, Tim is cool. Had to sneak that in there. Much love, Mark. I didn't make that up. It actually says it.
That's cool.
I think they can do it again.
You know, in music, there's the concept of the difficult second album.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're familiar with
that.
Of
course.
That, you know, bands come out or an artist comes out of the gate with an amazing debut album, and then the follow-up album's eagerly awaited.
Yeah.
But it's never as good as the first one.
It's sometimes that's not the case. You know, Britney Spears came out, she did her thing, but then, oops, she did it again.
That's
second album,
not where
even
I
better.
Was going to go no? with it, but...
Where were you going to go?
I was going to go with Oasis, where I felt like What's the Story, Morning Glory was even better than Definitely Maybe.
Mm, it's true.
So you're right.
It's true. But I think they can do it.
It's so telling that you went straight to Britney for your musical analogy.
Yeah, dude.
But no, but the point I was going to make was I often think that's not true in games, that oftentimes the second game is at least as good as or better than the last, especially when you're
point.
Dealing with auteur creators. They usually keep, it's not usually lightning in the bottle. If you create something brilliant once, oftentimes they demonstrate that they can do it again.
Yeah.
So I feel optimistic about this.
Uncharted to Uncharted 2, Assassin's Creed to Assassin's Creed 2. There's so many good examples of these games that where the sequel is definitely superior. I think this is a different case, though, because you can't just do it again.
Right.
It can't just be an Undertale sequel. It needs to have that kind of weird, like, gimmicky in a good way. You know, it's only like gimmick's only a bad thing unless it's successful.
Right.
Then all of a sudden it's innovation.
Right.
And I feel like Undertale is an example of innovation in the game space. And I think that Toby Fox is the type of guy that can do it again.
Well, I'm keen to check it out. And I'm keen to check out the original Undertale as well. I think I can probably get a deal on it after it's been out for a while. I'll go check out on Xbox or PlayStation and see if there's any deals going on.
Awesome.
But I want to look into it. He's piqued my interest. What else you got?
Next news story. This comes from IGN. Titanfall 3 and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order could be out by late 2019. According to some prepared remarks from EA, it appears Respawn Entertainment will have multiple games released by holiday 2019, which may include Titanfall 3 and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. I didn't realize how that game was titled. It's Star Wars Jedi : Fallen Order, which kind of implies that Star Wars Jedi could be like the start of a franchise.
Yeah, it sounds that way, because I would have put the colon, I would have done Star Wars : Jedi Fallen Order.
Exactly.
But they've gone with Star Wars Jedi. It was almost as though this is like a new, remember the old Jedi Knight, Dark Forces, Jedi Knight, Jedi Knight 2.
I'm into this. I'm very excited. In these prepared remarks, EA revealed that there are new projects underway across multiple studios, including games from Respawn that are slated to launch by next holiday season. When Respawn was acquired by EA in 2017, both groups revealed that the studio was working on several projects, including an Oculus Rift VR game that was announced in 2017, a third Titanfall game, and a third-person Star Wars title that was revealed to be Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order at E3 2018. The wording in these prepared remarks suggests that there will be at least two games coming out of Respawn by holiday 2019, though it's unclear if these include two or more of the aforementioned projects, or possibly even a currently unannounced project.
Are you glad that they're... We'll talk about Star Wars in a moment, but are you glad that they're sticking with the Titanfall series?
I am. And, it wasn't a guarantee after the commercial flop, all things considered, that was Titanfall 2.
Yeah, because Titanfall 2 kind of came and went. I liked the first one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only problem I had with the first one was it didn't have a story campaign. The second one came, story campaign, did everything that people asked for.
And everyone loved it.
And it was great and everyone loved it, but I think it came out in a difficult period where there are other games out there, and it was one of those games that kind of got... squeezed, like not every game released over the holiday period can be number one. Well, and it kind of got squeezed out.
EA kind of even fucked itself by releasing Battlefield and Titanfall at the same time.
They sandwiched it right in there.
And it totally ruined Titanfall's chance at success.
I'm glad because I like the Titanfall games. I think they're really fun. I like big hulking robots kicking the shit out of each other.
Hell yeah.
And I was a little bit worried that after the second one, Respawn might go, let's try something else. But here they are. They're plugging away Titanfall 3.
They're doing. That's awesome. And then Star Wars, I'm really excited. This is the Star Wars game I'm most excited for now, which I guess isn't saying much that the Amy Hennig project's not happening.
Well, but this is maybe a nice consolation prize for the Amy Hennig, because I happened to see a little bit of the Amy Hennig project.
Mm-hmm.
Amy, as you know, is a friend of mine, and it looked fantastic. And when I heard it was canceled, I was like, why would you cancel that game? Because it looked great. It looked great. I mean, it really, basically, it was essentially Star Wars Uncharted, which is like, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that?
Fucking cool, Gary.
Who doesn't want that?
No one doesn't want that. Everybody wants it.
Everybody does want
that.
Everyone
wanted.
So I'm not quite sure what happened. The dust is still settling on that whole debacle. But I'm really, really glad because, do you like that word?
The way you say it.
Debacle.
Yeah.
Debacle. See, I say it in England. If I'd not lived here for the last 20 years, I would still say debacle.
Debacle. I think that's how you say it.
I say debacle. It depends on the day. I say debacle.
That's why I appreciate you most, Gary.
Because you don't know which way I'm going to come at you.
Dude, chaos. Utter chaos.
It's just, just wild card bitches. You just don't know.
Wild card bitches.
Jumps out the back of the van.
I could love it.
Listen, I like, what I really want from Star Wars is more great story-based Star Wars games. Like the thing that would probably excite me the most, like the news announcement, if I could pluck anything out of the air, would be BioWare is doing Knights of the Old Republic 3.
Mm-hmm.
That would be amazing. I would love that. In that absence, and in the absence of the Visceral game, which we were all very sad to see go, Respawn, great developer, Jedi. I don't really want another game about kind of something happening in the Mandalorian world or Han Solo running around. I want Jedi. I want lightsabers.
Yeah.
I want good versus evil.
And this
feels like it's going to deal with that.
The placement of this sounds great to me. In between Episode 3 and A New Hope. Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's an area that I want to explore more and see what's going on. So I'm excited. Will it hit 2019? Will they do it again of putting Titanfall 3 up against another game that's going to destroy it?
Respawn games cannibalizing one another?
That doesn't sound like a good idea. I think that we'll see one of these, not both of these, holiday 2019.
Yeah, I think it wouldn't make a lot of sense to release them both in proximity to one another.
Yeah, and I mean, it is a little telling that last year at E3, we didn't see anything from this game. They literally just said the title and a sentence about it.
But the Star Wars franchise in particular really, really needs... EA has not been, let's be honest, has not been a great steward of the Star Wars franchise. The first battleground, sorry, the first Battlefront. I get so mixed up. Battlegrounds, yeah, Battlefield,
so many battles.
Battlefronts. Mm-hmm. There's too many of them. Too many battle things.
Battle Royale.
Battle Royale, you name it. Mm-hmm. The first Battlefront was a bit of a disappointment because no story campaign. The second Battlefront had a decent story campaign, but obviously ran into all kinds of other problems that I won't repeat here because we've talked about it a million times.
Yeah.
And then the one story game that we all were really excited about got cancelled. So they've not really had a great track record. Could this be the one, though, Tim, that sets things to rights? So finally, Respawn come out with an amazing, amazing single-player Star Wars lightsaber-wielding Jedi game. That's what we want. If there's a handful of studios that can confidently deliver that, I think Respawn is one of them. So I'm hoping this is the one that kind of redeems mm-hmm. EA's stewardship of the Star Wars franchise.
I think that it could be. I'm not hopeful. I'm not.
Oh, you're not?
I'm not betting on it.
Why not?
I think there's
tempering your enthusiasm?
Everything that we've seen in the past couple of years with the Star Wars franchise. I just feel like they, no matter what, this game is going to be living in the shadow of Visceral. Right?
Right.
And I think they have so much to prove because of that. I feel at the end of the day, this game is going to be about as good as the Force Unleashed games. Which means, honestly, it's going to be a good time.
A solid double down the middle.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not going to be...
I have higher hopes than that.
Huh?
I have higher expectations. I think Respawn, great developer.
And that's true.
I don't think... I'll make a statement. I don't think that Respawn have yet shown you everything that they can do. Mm. In the same way that when Insomniac put out Spider-Man, they stepped up. Oh shit! Like this is like the next level from mm-hmm. them. I am very hopeful.
Hell yeah!
That Respawn can pull off something similar with the Star Wars game.
You're getting me hyped up, Gary. I'm liking that a lot.
You know, trying to maintain a positive outlook.
Yeah, good. We need to. Someone's got to
do
it.
I have a reputation. I think unjustly earned. As being a bit of a curmudgeon and a bit of a cynic. Mm. And sometimes I am, but right now here I am with a positive view.
Share it with somebody. Next news story, Nintendo president wants more DLC for existing big titles. This comes from Joe Scrubbles, a made-up name at IGN. At Nintendo's latest earnings meeting, as reported by Bloomberg's Yuji Nakamura, Furukawa said, "We need continuous growth. We must keep releasing new software. That includes DLC and other content for big titles that are already out." His mention of big titles would seemingly point to Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey, and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe that have all reached the 10 million copies sold milestone on Switch so far. 10
million.
And
all three of them did that.
All three of them. And a lot of them are way past that. He added that Nintendo's growth also relied on more focus on online play and more genres and diverse games to draw people in who don't currently play on Switch. A couple days ago, they dropped some big financial reports showing that Switch is now over 22 million sold of the hardware, which is crazy. Beating the GameCube's lifetime record.
That's crazy.
Crazy. Super Mario Party sold over 1.5 million in October alone, making it the fastest selling Mario Party game ever.
Wow.
And the most interesting stat, I know Greg kind of went over a lot of these numbers a couple days ago, but to contextualize this news story, Mario Kart Deluxe is selling between 300,000 and 400,000 units a month worldwide.
Still.
Every month.
And it's been out a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? It's an evergreen.
It's evergreen. And when you attach an evergreen title in an evergreen franchise to a console like the Switch that is selling as well as it is.
Well, what do you do? Here's the thing. The Switch is still selling, right? The Switch has still got a lot of penetration to go before it's fully saturated. Oh, my goodness. in the marketplace. And what do you do when you pick up a Switch? You pick up an evergreen title to go with it. You pick up either a bundle or you pick up a Mario title to go with it. And so mm-hmm. that's why I think as long as the hardware is selling, the Zeldas and the Mario, the core titles, like, you know, the big platformers and the Mario Kart games mm-hmm. will continue. But that's amazing. You think about it. You'd be thrilled for your brand new game mm-hmm. to be selling for 300,000 to 400,000 copies a month. And Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is a game that's more than a year old.
Yeah.
and it's still selling.
It's
huge
and
numbers.
It's a port of a 2013 game.
And it, yeah, and it's not even really that's the thing. It's just a bit of a refresh. It's, yeah. It's worth getting if you played the Wii U version. I'd still say it's worth getting the Switch version
Absolutely.
Because the graphical update, the upgrades, and all the other little things that they added, well worth getting for Mario Kart fans. But you're right. It's not even. Imagine what would happen when they come out with like the real Mario Kart 9.
And so that's the interesting thing to me with all of this is them coming back and saying that they want DLC for existing big titles. It puts the system and the franchises in a weird place because Brandon writes in and says, Tim and Gary, do you think in the next year Nintendo will announce new games or sequels to Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild, reusing the assets from those games? To me, it'd be a strange decision not to reuse those assets since I think it worked out very well with Galaxy 2 and Majora's Mask. Thanks for always producing a great show. That's the thing. Are they going to put out those type of sequels, like reusing assets, which I do think would make a lot of sense.
Right. Or do they go the DLC route?
Do they go DLC route? Do we see Mario Kart 9 or do we just see more Mario Kart DLC? And that's something that's interesting to me is we haven't seen proper Mario Kart DLC on Switch. There's been little patches and little updates, but Mario Kart 8 Deluxe was just Mario Kart 8 with all the DLC together.
I think what you'll end up seeing is a little from column A and a little from column B. Obviously, Nintendo is committing to the DLC model. You know, I think they've actually been great so far with what they have done in supporting their existing title, Splatoon and others as well with DLC. We just had you on the show on the mic over there last week when we were talking about the possibility of DLC for Mario Party, additional games and things like that. But the idea that would happen in lieu of like say Mario Kart 9,
yeah.
I think you're going to get both because I mean, Mario. Let's say that Mario Kart 8 got like a huge, massive DLC dump, like a big one that really, really brought it up to date. That would be exciting, but I feel like it still wouldn't generate as much excitement as a whole new release. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think we'll see a bit of both.
It gets kind of complicated though because I feel like the Switch introduced a revolution for Nintendo where you look at Breath of the Wild, you look at Mario Odyssey, like these are huge step forwards for those franchises.
Yeah, they were.
When you look at Smash Bros. Ultimate coming out, that is the ultimate Smash Bros. Game. When you look at Mario Kart 8 and 8 Deluxe, it's like, how much more can they add? You know, when like Mario Kart Wii added the motorcycles, Mario Kart 3DS added the like underwater and like the transitioning, transforming things. Mario Kart 8 adding the gravity and all that. It's like, I mean, leave it up to Nintendo to like figure out what is that next thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of feel like Mario Kart has peaked with 8.
You think?
And then you look at Super Mario Party and it's like, it's a little bare bones, but if they did have DLC plans and rebranding it as Super Mario Party, like I would love a world where Nintendo's franchises, not all of them, but the ones that make sense, are treated as platforms with DLC rollout plans that last year over year.
I mean, the fact that they launched the Switch with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe instead of Mario Kart 9 tells you that they might be kind of like, you know, kind of how they are like with smartphones now, where smartphones aren't revolutionary anymore, that it's all just kind of incremental updates. Mm-hmm. We might be entering the era of incremental updates.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm down for, especially when the games are selling between 300,000 and 400,000 copies a month.
God, it's just a license to print money over there at Nintendo, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, with the financials they put out, like they have so many games. I think it was like something like 12 games that are over a million sold. And a lot of them are way over a million sold.
What does the Switch have to do to become Nintendo's best-selling console? What's the target? You're wrong, we'll provide us with this information, I'm sure. But do you happen to know, like, what would be... What's still the number one selling Nintendo
system?
The
Wii, and that's the problem.
Right.
Is I don't think we'll ever see those type of numbers from Nintendo. I think that might be a little lofty with the market that we have now. However, the Switch, once the 3DS is properly phased out, which I finally think is like starting to happen.
Yeah.
Once they release a cheaper Switch that is more geared towards younger kids and like a 2DS type version of the Switch.
You think we're going to see that?
I do. And I think like bundling it with Pokemon, because that's the thing. Pokemon still hasn't come out on Switch and that's going to change.
That's going to be huge.
Everything in terms of sales numbers. And I think it's going to be those type of decisions. It's going to be the revisions of the hardware, the multiple versions coming out that people are going to want to buy, you know, whatever, the Switch XL or the Switch Mini or whatever they end up doing.
Yeah.
I think that's when we'll start to see them beating out the other Nintendo consoles and like making their way through the ranks.
It's so funny because I had a feeling it was the Wii, because it was such a huge seller. The Wii is still, we'll talk about it another time, but it's still so fascinating to me. The Wii is such a bizarre piece of video gaming history that it sold that many units of hardware. And yet it's still mainly looked back on as a generation that Nintendo would sooner forget, you know?
Yeah.
Very strange. And the Wii U.
Oh, the Wii U.
And yet, even during the Nintendo's darkest hours, when it was just, the Wii was just nothing but crappy shovelware, mm-hmm. and there was no third-party support, and it felt like, why do I even have this stupid thing? Mm-hmm. I always remember saying, don't count Nintendo out. And Wii U came out, and that was kind of like, eh, whatever. Don't count Nintendo out. They're only ever one next generation away from confounding all of their critics, and it's exactly what happened with the Switch.
The Switch proved that the Wii U sucked, but the software was amazing.
Yes.
Them porting all of the different games from the Wii U and seeing how amazing they stand up. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe coming out, and you know, might as well have been a new game to people, and it was a great new game to people. Like, Greg treated it like it was a new Mario Kart entry, even though it was the same game that I played years before.
With all the indie support, I think I may have said this on the show before, but it's the Switch is the first time, people always think of, it's often said that Nintendo is your second console. Like, mm-hmm. you have a PlayStation or an Xbox as your primary console where all the games are, but you got to have the Nintendo console because you got to get those first-party Nintendo games you won't get anywhere else.
Yep.
I think the Switch... this wouldn't be my choice, but I could. It's the first time that if I only had one console and it was the Nintendo Switch, I could live on that one console alone as a gamer.
Great time to be a gamer. So many options, so many amazing games coming out. And Gary, I got some rumors for you on the
some
Nintendo
rumors.
Front.
All right,
Animal Crossing for Nintendo Switch
could
be released
my language.
As early as Q1 2019. This comes from a site called Loot Pots.
Loot Pots, I like that
but
name.
But check this out. Animal Crossing might be coming to the Nintendo Switch a little earlier than expected. According to one of our sources, the rumored release window could see Tom Nook cashing in as early as Q1 2019. It's been less than a month since Animal Crossing Switch was first announced, but that's more than enough time to get the rumor mill churning. Given the lack of in-game footage and broad 2019 release date, it would be fairly reasonable to assume that the next Animal Crossing title might not launch until late into next year. However, that might not be the case. Information from one of our sources suggests that Animal Crossing on Nintendo Switch is most likely set for late Q1 or early Q2 release date, which in layman's terms means somewhere around March or April 2019. The reason I put this in here is these rumors are coming from the same sources that got all of the Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee stuff right before that happened.
Okay, so they have a track record.
They have a track record. There's some credibility. This is just a rumor, but I don't think it's that surprising. Like, that's kind of where I would see Animal Crossing shaken out.
I certainly hope so, because everyone in my house can't wait to get their hands on it. Animal Crossing Switch is going to be the big one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Pokemon as well, because my kid loves Pokemon, but Animal Crossing, everyone in my house, my wife used to be addicted to the GameCube version. She has, I don't know how many hours in it, but she played it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we all play Animal Crossing, mostly my daughter and my wife. I have it, but I don't really play it so much anymore. I play a lot of Pocket Camp.
Mm-hmm.
But the core Animal Crossing, New Leaf, on 3DS, still very, very popular. My kid, she has two 3DSs because she borrows mine, or she borrows her mother's, and
that's
she dual wields.
That's four screens. DDS.
It's 6D.
Yeah.
It's a 6DS.
Wow, man. That's so many dimensions. So many screens.
Gaming
so
in the sixth dimension. But and again, it just goes to show how much farther the Switch still has to go, because we talked about, you know, Mario and Zelda and all these big franchises, but they still have these massive ones still to deploy. Pokemon is arguably bigger than all of them, bigger mm-hmm. than Mario.
Oh, yeah.
Animal Crossing is a Sales-wise, huge deal. Definitely. So they can still, they've still got these huge, huge, huge revenue earners and system sellers. There's going to be a Pokemon bundle. I wouldn't be at all surprised if the Pokemon Nintendo Switch bundle was like the hot seller over the holiday season. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the one.
And in addition to the Smash bundle, it's like, man, Nintendo right now is like...
And Smash, oh my God, it's like the hits just keep on coming.
Yeah, the hits keep on coming. And man, the Nintendo Switch is a hit. Next story, Fortnite downloaded on nearly half of all Switches.
Christ.
Nintendo has announced that Fortnite has been downloaded on nearly half of all Nintendo Switch systems worldwide since its launch in June of this year. Referencing a previous Nintendo earnings report in which it was stated that Nintendo Switch console sales have reached almost 23 million units, Fortnite would have been downloaded on 11.5 million of those that are currently in the wild.
I mean, it's a free download,
mm-hmm.
right? Which helps.
Yeah, definitely.
Free to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get you on
the
back end.
There's also the Fortnite bundles out for the Switch that are, I'm sure, also helping.
Oh, there's a Fortnite bundle?
Mm-hmm. It comes with like the
V-Bucks.
Yeah, V-Bucks and all that stuff.
Which damn.
It's a total sham, but imagine being a parent at GameStop trying to buy a Switch and your kid's like, I want Fortnite. And they're like, eh.
Yeah, I mean, if you're under like 10 years old, it just seems like if you're not playing Fortnite, like, why even bother being alive?
That's what I'm saying. Next news story, getting out of Nintendo land. Henry Cavill in The Witcher has been seen. Kev, can you bring up the link?
I saw this there? Earlier. I saw this picture showed up in my Twitter feed. Widely retweeted and commented upon.
Netflix has given us our first look at The Witcher series star Henry Cavill in costume as Geralt of Rivia to celebrate the show beginning formal production. In a clip shared on Cavill's Instagram page and the Netflix Twitter account, we see the actor in full costume and makeup with the long silver hair Geralt also sports in CD Projekt Red's video game trilogy.
However,
see his prominent scars or the beard he sported for much of Witcher 3. Cavill is silent during the clip, but it takes a swig from a flask to show that he's definitely in character. No release date has been given for The Witcher series aside from Netflix's vague 2019 window, but the script for the show is complete. Showrunner Laura Schmidt Hisrich previously said that it could be 2020 before the 8-episode project is ready.
Drinking a potion there at the end, you notice that?
Is it a potion?
Maybe he's taking a shot or something. I don't know.
I think
he
definitely
had a little drinky poo at the end there.
Yeah, just a little drinky poo.
I think it's a potion.
I think it's a potion.
It's
not a flask?
It's super thin in the neck.
Wouldn't be much of a hip flask. It's basically good for one shot.
It's not even that. Hold on.
He's very smouldery, isn't he, Henry Cavill?
Look at the shape. It's
It's a potion bottle.
Yeah.
And he's glugging it down. I don't know what he's doing.
Also, he looks dumb.
Does he?
You think this looks good?
I mean, I think he looks like the character, minus the facial hair and stuff.
I think that the wig looks terrible.
I mean,
it kind of looks like
hair looks terrible.
If I didn't know better, I would have thought that he was just going as Geralt for Halloween.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
Right?
But this is like produced and made by
Netflix. But this is the legit version.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just don't know that could look good in
real life.
I don't know.
It's just not real. People don't have hair like that.
I remember when people first saw Heath Ledger as the Joker, they went, what the hell is going on? And that turned out great. Like I learned over the years to be very wary of judging anything before you've got real context and like a real look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And they chose to release that. They think it looks good.
Heath Ledger, like, is a fucking amazing actor. Henry Cavill, I don't know that we've seen.
Well, the problem that I have is that I just see the actor. Like, he's got a very recognizable face. He's obviously the face of Superman, at least for the time being.
Handsome man.
And what I see is Superman with long silver hair.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He may be very good. I thought he was good in Mission Impossible. He's been good in some other stuff as well. I kind of wish that they had cast an unknown, someone that really kind of looked like the character from the show, the game.
I feel like casting him is a statement, though, for the scale of this project.
Right. So, look, we have a real movie star. Yeah. We have Superman.
Yeah. I think that's important, though, to get The Witcher out there past just video game audiences.
Well, we'll see.
We will see. Two more news stories. They're both trailers here. Medieval announced trailer is out. You can check that out. Sean Layden on the PlayStation blog wrote about it. Sir Daniel Fortesque first shook off his premature burial 20 years ago and has had a dedicated fan base ever since. Whether you picked up the original or never heard of the original, we know you'll love the sword-swinging, perilous puzzles, and enchanting environments brought back to life by our international software development team in partnership with Other Ocean Interactive. This is a full remake of the original PlayStation 1 classic with all of the scarecrows, zombies, werewolves, and mace-wielding knights lurking in the kingdom with more detail and personality than ever before. You can check out the trailer. It looks pretty cool.
We're checking out the trailer.
You can see it. It looks cool, man.
Okay, this is all just cinematic, though. Where's the gameplay?
It looks like a cool gray game for sure. A lot of spooky stuff.
It's a great game.
Perfect in time for
Halloween. Halloween is the perfect time to be releasing this.
Let's look at the gameplay.
Here we are. Here's some gameplay.
Yeah, let's look at that. Look at his full range of movement. Really, there's nothing like moving around in a 3D space.
You can kind of tell that this was a PlayStation 1 game, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Even though obviously it's been up-resed and remastered.
Yeah.
Completely remade from the... Oh, there you go. There's the PlayStation original, 1 version.
It looks cool.
Yeah, this looks really... I don't know. I'm excited about it.
I will say, seeing this trailer got me more excited to give it a shot than
every time they show a clip before of the PlayStation 1 version, it just makes me think, how did we fucking survive that generation of games? Because they looked like... there was a time when we thought that looked good, Tim.
I know.
Yeah.
We didn't know any better.
God.
We thought that looked good.
And now we get eye popping.
Now it's in 4K.
That's great.
He's eye popped out. Brilliant.
And then the next trailer is the Resident Evil 2 costume trailer. Once again, just in time for Halloween, they announced that, this is from Resident Evil Twitter. We have a treat for you as a thanks for your undying support. We're providing all Resident Evil 2 players with a piece of nostalgia. Leon and Claire's classic costumes will be unlockable in-game for free.
All right.
Very cool because, you know, that when they showed the redesign for the remake, everyone liked it because they did a good job with it. But everyone was like, oh, I kind of missed the classic ones. Is this it? Is this the trailer?
I don't know.
So this is the recent.
Okay, never mind. I'm not showing it. So
This is the recent remake of Resident Evil 2, correct?
The one that's coming out January 29th. Oh, okay. I want to say.
And now they're going to give you the why wouldn't they, if it was the a remake one, of the original
the IGN one,
deluxe edition costumes trailer? No, surely it's the one that says giving free classic costumes.
Oh wait, you're right. Not that one. My bad. Yeah.
Why wouldn't the classic costumes be included in the remake? Wouldn't that be part of remaking it, is including the original costumes?
Well, they kind of modernized the costumes in a way that I think works a lot for the remake. So having these, I think it's a nice touch that it's optional. Because, yeah, it does look kind of goofy, you know? But, God, I can't wait for this game.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, because the original costumes look a little bit cartoony.
Yeah.
Right.
So the remake ones look really dope. It's weird that Claire doesn't have her black shirt underneath, but whatever.
The remake looks good. The remaster looks real good.
Got to play it at E3 and it was perfect. There's a lot of love and care going into this, so I can't.
Was Resident Evil 2 the original one? Was that one that was particularly well liked? Mm-hmm. Is that why they chose to remake that one and not?
Well, they've already remade the first.
Do you think they'll just go through and do all of them?
No, they'll stop now. I don't think anyone's clamoring for a Nemesis remake.
Code Veronica.
Or definitely not a Code Veronica. Code Veronica is one that I feel like aged poorly. Like everyone loved it when it first came out. Yeah, but now Dreamcast, you look back and it's like, yeah, it's like, it was all right. But man, January 29th feels so far away, Gary. If I wanted to know what was coming out today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. Deathmark on PS4, PS Vita, and Switch. Gloom on PC. Hidden Folks on Switch. Knock Knock on Switch. Numbala on Switch. The one we found on Xbox One. Super Pixel Racers on PS4. And Super Volley Blast on Xbox One. Some new dates for you. Fort Nightmares in Battle Royale ends on Sunday, November 4th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Finish your Fort Nightmares challenges by then to unlock the Dark Engine Glider. Log in early and be in match to witness the one-time event, which starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I've seen a lot of people talking about this on Twitter and hyping it up, saying, hey, this is a cool event in Fortnite that it's one time only. You're going to want to see this. So if you're into that type of stuff, check it out.
They do a good job, don't they? The Fortnite guys, they do a good job of creating these timed events that everyone congregates around. Mm-hmm.
It's good, man. It's the future of video games.
Keeps the story going.
Deals of the day. Ed Baker writes in and says, I actually have a deal of the day. Today is the last day to get the Battle Pass for Battlefield 1 for free on PS4, Xbox, and PC. With Battlefield 1 being free on Xbox next month, figured I'd try to help some people out. Thank you for all the hours of entertainment. And thank you, Ed Baker. November's PlayStation Plus games are PS4, Bulletstorm, Full Clip Edition, Yakuza Kiwami. PS3, we got the Jackbox Party Pack 2, Arkido series. PlayStation Vita, which is cross-buy with PS4, we have Burly Men at Sea and Roundabout. Now it's time for reader mail, but first, let me tell you about our sponsors. Loot Crate, Loot Gaming, let me tell you about it. A monthly subscription box delivered direct to your door with exclusive pop culture, collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Gaming curates and designs everything themselves. You can't find these items anywhere. You know, we have this Metal Gear pint glass that we've been drinking out of, and that's from Loot Gaming. You missed out on that one. You're going to want to stay tuned to see what you can get in the coming months. This month's theme, victory comes at the edge of a blade. Face your enemies with razor sharp gear from God of War, Elder Scrolls, Kingdom Hearts, and Assassin's Creed. It's $60 of value in each crate for less than $29 a month. The crate will sell out, so you got to order this week to guarantee yours, as it will sell out. Get the best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company. You can geek out in style with Loot Crate. Subscribers are also automatically entered to win each month's epic drop, a special prize that looters can win just by being a looter. This month's epic drop includes a PlayStation 4 Pro and God of War. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games and enter code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. That's lootcrate.com/games. Enter code GAMES to get 30% off. Next up, Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. It's easy to understand charts and market data. Place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. Is it that easy, Kev?
Yep.
You use it?
Yep.
There you go, guys. There's no one more reliable than Kevin Coelho. You can learn how to invest as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, and track your favorite companies with personalized news feeds. Customer notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at games.robinhood.com. That's games.robinhood.com. It's a free stock, man. Do it. Reader mail time. Dalton says, I'm in a chicken or the egg situation. With Black Friday approaching, I'm looking for some advice. Having neither a 4K TV or an Xbox One X, what do you think would be the better one to get first?
Well, it's a tough question these days, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a chicken and egg kind of thing. You get the 4K TV, mm-hmm. but then you don't have any 4K content.
Mm-hmm.
You get the Xbox One X, you've got 4K content, but nothing to display it on.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure. Well, so I would say get the TV first.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will, any 4K TV these days at least has the apps built into it that will let you get some 4K content. It's going to have Netflix. It's going to have Amazon Prime. It's going to have Hulu. It's going to have a bunch of the YouTube TV or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's going to have a bunch of other shit already baked into the firmware. And that will let you experience 4K content. And then add the Xbox on later.
Down the line.
If you get the Xbox One X first and are plugging it into a regular TV, you're just going to be feeling like, I know that this can deliver more, but I'm not getting it.
I agree.
I would say get the TV
get
first.
Get the TV. What, Kev?
The 1S also, I believe, and the Slim, don't they?
They got 4K, they upscale Blu-ray, stuff.
They'll play 4K discs, yes.
Yes, they will. Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, this, based on your question, it kind of implies that you do have either an Xbox One S or a PS4. And you still see some benefits using a 4K TV. So I say, get the TV. And there's also so many Xbox One X bundles coming out and deals you can do. If you have an Xbox One S right now, there's a deal going on at GameStop that we talked about a couple days ago that you can, like, trade it in for.
It's still really expensive.
It's still expensive, but, like,
it's cool.
It's better than any Black Friday deal you're going to get.
Sure.
This question just reminded me of another part of this year that is just balls out crazy, which is, of course, Black Friday. That's coming up. I've forgotten all about that. Mm-hmm. Do you get in on those Black Friday deals?
I don't. I usually stay away from it because I have become the type of consumer that I know exactly what I want.
Right.
And I'm less looking for the best deal possible and I'm more looking for the best thing possible and getting the best deal on that.
Right.
So it's like,
you want it when you want it. You don't have to wait until November.
And it's like, I also don't want just a 4K TV. I want the 4K TV.
You want the one. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
And then the one that you want, even if it is available on Black Friday, you're going to have to throw some elbows to get it.
Yeah.
Or I'm stay up all night. And, you know, nobody wants to do that. What about you, Kevin? Do you get into Black Friday?
No.
You look for deals?
No. Those days are also behind me.
I like to do the cyber. I mean, I'm never going to be, you know, I'm never going to do the camping out. You know,
yeah,
that to me is just toxic. Yeah. I like to check out the cyber deals. You
well, that's
know.
The thing, man. With Cyber Monday, with Amazon, with the internet, it's like Black Friday is. You'd be dumb to not at least look at the deals and see if there's something that interests you.
I mean,
you
know, I wasn't in the market a couple of years ago. I wasn't in the market for a pair of noise canceling headphones, but mm-hmm. there was a really, really good pair that was crazy discounted. I thought, shit, I'll go in. I'm really glad I got those headphones.
There you go,
man.
So
every now and again, you can find something you didn't even know you wanted.
Paul Terry writes in and says, hi, Tim and Gary. The 1st of November sees the release of the final issue of Games Master Magazine.
Oh, wow.
The UK's biggest selling multi-format video games magazine, having been first published in 1993, and also its sister magazine, Games TM, as in trademark. My question is this. In the age of online video game news sources such as IGN and Kind of Funny, and the frequency of breaking news, is it surprising that there are still actually any hard copy publications at all, or do you think there's still room for print media in the industry? I know Gary has a history in printed games journalism and may also have an insight into Games Master, so I'm looking forward to his thoughts.
Yeah, I got, as of course you know, I got my start in print back in 1988,
mm-hmm.
back in... I know, great. Right?
That was a year before I was born.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
God, that makes me feel old.
We're getting some static, Kevin.
I was reviewing Commodore 64 games in 1988. Yeah, wow. I feel like I'm getting some static from you guys. It was good. It was good times. And so Games Master, I do know a little about it because it was published by a company. I never actually worked on Games Master, but originally it was a TV. It was a TV show called Games Master.
Okay.
And although the TV show only lasted for I think 2 or 3 years, the Games Master was the official magazine of the TV show. And then it continued on in its own right long after the TV show went away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know no, I don't think you'd be able to pull it up, but like I was actually on the Games Master TV show.
Holy
in the early 90s.
What?
And you would have still been sucking your thumb.
Yeah, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, do a quick Google. If you Google Gary Whitta Games Master, it's possible it'll pop up. It's possible.
I'm so excited. I really hope that it...
You get to see the baby-faced version of me.
It's great.
Back when I was still, when I was probably about your age. Jesus Christ.
Man. Life's crazy. Time.
Did you find anything, Kevin?
It's not looking great.
Yeah, I don't... Well, nor would it be if you found the picture. Trust me.
The next question is from a dognic96. Says, I had an idea for a trophy-like collectible in Smash Ultimate. Tim, how insane would it be if in Smash Brothers you collected issues of Nintendo Power and all the issues were in the game? Now, my first thought it would be localization issues, since I'm unsure if Nintendo Power or some form of it existed outside the US. I don't think this would happen, but it would be crazy if it did, and Sakurai is known to do the crazy. At most, my guess is we might see a Nintendo Power trophy or... a trophy of Nestor, the Nintendo Power mascot. Anyways, everyone have a happy Halloween. Be safe out there. That would be amazing. There's no chance of it happening. I don't even think we get a reference to Nintendo Power in the game.
Do you think they could just be like a good character for Smash would just be like an issue of Nintendo Power with arms and legs?
I'd be that super could fight into that. Yeah, and then the fold-out poster would come out.
Yeah.
Maybe the right B.
Yeah. Smack and if them. You're doing badly, it could open up and give you tips on how to play the game.
Yes.
Some pro tips.
That's a final smash. I love it. I love it. Was Nintendo Power across the pond?
Yes. It wasn't as big a deal there as it was here. Because again, Nintendo wasn't as big a deal there as it was here.
You guys
After a while, because Nintendo Power is still around, isn't it?
No.
Isn't it? Did it close?
No, like 3 years ago.
Okay, so the last iteration of it was actually run out of the company that I used to work at, Imagine Media, when they were still kind of doing a lot of magazines and stuff. I believe that they at one point bought the Nintendo Power license and were running it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right.
I thought Nintendo Power was always just straight up from Nintendo.
Yes, but they subcontracted out the actual publication. Like the official Xbox magazine was also made by the company I used to work. Even though it was an official kind of product of Microsoft, they're not in the business of making magazines.
They
contract it out to a company that does the work.
Interesting.
So yeah, Nintendo Power.
Mm-hmm.
God,
you're playing with power.
So Nintendo Power's dead. Games Master's dead. I'm starting to all my friends are dead.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel older and older right here. I'm actually genuinely sad about it. It feels like the end of an era. I grew up with the Games Master TV show. I appeared on it once or twice. I'm going to see if I can find that picture. I'll show it to you after the show.
That's good.
Because I have it on my phone, I think.
Great.
And it was, it was like people playing games. It was games tips, games reviews. And it was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
But the magazine that came out of it was relatively successful. I'm actually kind of surprised. I'm both sad to hear that it's dead and also kind of astonished that it's still going. It was still going up until now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would you still pick up a print games magazine and flip through it?
You know,
it's still the act of kind of flipping through a magazine is still.
There's a novelty there something. For sure. I bought the final issue of Nintendo Power. Which was a novelty a couple years ago. EGM came back, Electronic Gaming Monthly. At this point, it was like 8 years ago. But it came back, and I was really excited for that because they were like, hey, you know what? We understand it's the world of the internet, but like we believe in this, and we're going to put out a really premium product every month.
Right, right.
And it was great, but I just kind of got over it. Or I subscribed for, I think, the first 2 years, and then I realized that after a couple months, I just wasn't reading them.
What is left? Game Informer is still around, right?
Game Informer, I don't think, will ever go away.
But they have their deal with GameStop.
Yeah, and that's why.
And that's what kind of keeps it afloat. Yeah. Is Game Informer still around?
At this point, too, is I think of them more as a digital thing. Like they've adapted. You know, they've grown. And it, like Game Informer, the magazine, is just a sliver of what get the Game Informer podcast, Game Informer.
Right. Like it's just the another website, extension of the brand. Is GamePro still around?
No.
God, they're all gone, aren't they?
They're all gone.
PC Game, my old alma mater, PC Gamer is still around. But even that, I think, is a bit of a shadow of its former self. Mm. It's sad. I mean, you know, these are the times we live in, but like nobody wants to reprint anymore.
Yeah.
Why would, I mean, and it's particularly difficult in games. By the time, on a monthly magazine, by the time you get the news, get it written up, lay it out on a page, send it to the printers, and get it in the hands of your readers... The news is a month old.
Yeah.
It's like if you and I were on here talking about the news from a month ago. Who wants to hear that? You want to hear today's news. You want hot,
kind of funny,
fresh
games daily.
News.
That's
daily,
why,
not monthly. Daily.
It's time to squad up, ladies and gentlemen. Weiss Mark writes in. He's on PSN. His name is Icefire211. Icefire211 is his PSN name. He says, "Hey guys, the Fallout 76 beta didn't really click with me. Partially because I wasn't compelled to squad up with any random players. If any best friends plan on playing at all during the next season tomorrow, please please send me a friend request and let's squad up in the wasteland. Send Icefire211 a friend request. Let's play some Fallout 76, baby. Now it's time for your wrong. Let's see what we got wrong. Jesus Christ.
Uh-oh. Is it not pretty?
This might be the most you're wrongs I've ever seen.
Oh my God. I'm hoping... Because we did put up a flare for You're Wrong on like what was the best-selling Nintendo console and so forth. I'm hoping that it's just a bunch of people answering questions and not that we didn't actually get something terribly wrong, which people are now piling on.
Yeah, you know what? Going down this list, there's a lot of bullshit. I'm gonna be honest.
There always is on You're Wrong.
Yeah.
There always is. I like that laptop. It's a nice-looking laptop, by the way. What is that, a Surface?
No, it's a Huawei.
Oh,
it's the MateBook Pro X. It's essentially a Chinese knockoff of
the Surface?
A MacBook.
Oh.
MacBook Pro.
Yes.
It looks exactly like a MacBook Pro.
It looks
Pro,
a lot like a MacBook Pro.
But it's Windows,
Pro.
So it's superior.
Yeah.
Let's not go down that road.
Truthful.
It's a nice looking laptop, though.
Eth Demon says Undertale is PC/Switch only. Interesting.
Okay.
I also thought it was on PS4. I was wrong.
Was that on Vita?
But it is on the Switch. Yeah. That's what I care about. Wonder why it's not on the PlayStation or the Xbox. Interesting. What else you got?
This is editorializing.
Bullshit,
Lord of
Pwn
says the Wii has sold 101.63 million units.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. The DS has sold 154 million units. And that's the current leader for a portable platform.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Everyone in the chat saying Undertale is on the PS4.
Now,
why are you showing us the Twitch chat?
Because
right
you're wronging the you're wrong.
Oh, okay.
It is on PS4. Yeah. Man, okay, cool.
But not on Xbox. I can't keep up with this.
No, not on Xbox. Xbox for nerds.
Resident Evil 2 Remake comes out on January 25th, not the 29th. 29th is Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that, Lord of Pwn.
Anything else?
New dates. Minecraft Story Mode Season 2 comes to Switch on November 6th. Thanks, Zaire.
All right. Telltale still kicking from beyond the grave.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part where people listening to the podcast in the car are thinking, is the podcast still going?
Lord of Pwn says Nintendo Power's last issue was December 11th, 2012. They now have a podcast called Nintendo Power. That is true. It's a great podcast.
Okay. Nintendo Power's been dead since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
GamePro's last issue was winter 2011. It says Lord of Pwn.
Wow.
Undertale's also on Vita.
Do you have any EGM?
EGM might still be going, but in the weird way that I was talking about. I know EGM exists as a website, but.
But no, I'm talking about print.
Yeah. Mm. There's no way to find out.
If only someone out there knew. But where would you even go? Like, where do you even go to buy? Like, you have to go to the airport to buy a print magazine.
I feel like anybody...
Where do you even go to buy a print magazine these
days? Anyone interested in a print video game magazine now is probably subscribing to it.
Yes.
Right? They probably had to use the internet to subscribe to it. What's up, Kev?
You can go to that the Barnes & Noble. It's not Barnes & Noble. There's a bookstore in Tamfran still.
I know, so I've got to drive out of the city to buy a magazine? This is why print is dead. They don't even sell them anywhere.
Well, whose fault was that, Gary?
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
you hope you're not pointing the finger at me.
I would never point the finger at anyone.
All right.
Happy Halloween. This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Stay safe out there. Don't eat too much candy. And if there's apples, don't eat the apples. There's probably razor blades in them.
It's so scary. stop.
Also,
that is
don't
scary
eat the apples.
Stuff.
Why the fuck would you eat the
apples?
Yeah,
why would you want an apple for Halloween?
Bob for them.
Until next time, I love you.